Well, let's pray as we get into tonight's word. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be with my brothers and sisters, this mishpacha at this church here. Faith, Grace, Fellowship, Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, tonight as we do study your word, you show us more things of your love and more different dynamics of you, Father God. I pray that this is good soil, each and every one that's here tonight, including myself, Father God. And we're all ministered to as we're in the holiday season, Father God. We thank you for that. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, amen. So tonight I'm going to teach on Hanukkah. And so I got handouts for you. And Pastor, actually, that's what I talked about at our church today. And you can grab me afterwards. But basically, it's just, I don't like saying it, but it's more of very as if you didn't know anything about, you know, I don't like to use the word dummy or dummy down. I never like that word, but any rate, you guys can pass them out. But anyway, it's just something for you to go back, and you may notice already, but it's just something to study. So I got my phones here because I remember all the blessings except one. So as I light the candles, I'll do that in a minute. And got menorah, so we'll light that because it's the sixth night of Hanukkah. So, just a couple things. So, everyone here, I'm pretty sure, knows, but the Hebrew word for Hanukkah, it means dedication. And it signifies the rededication of the temple. It runs from, on God's calendar, as we talked about. Remember, we talked about God's calendar. I don't like that word. Even I corrected. I said that at my church today. Dr. LaRosa said that was really good when I said that. But I always say it's not the Jewish calendar. It's a man-made term. It's God's calendar that he gave to the Jewish people to oversee and to protect. And then because of the new covenant, in Galatians 3:13-14 says what? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it's written, curses everyone hangs on a tree, so that the blessings of Abraham might come upon who? The Gentiles. So basically, if it's God's calendar, it's the church's calendar too. So it's the year 5778, and then we can get in this teaching and for a later time, but they know that there's supposedly 200 lost years. So we're at 5978. And leaders of the Jewish in Israel know that as well, the leaders, the Sanhedrin, and stuff like that. So it starts from Kislev 25 to Tevet 3 every year on God's calendar. It's also known the Festival of Lights because of lighting the menorah. And like I said, it kind of signifies in 165, just a little background, and I put that in here, it is a victory of faith and the power of the miracle, defeat of the strongest nation at that time. Like it'd be like defeating the United States of America today. The Syrian Greeks in 165 BC, a small band of group of Israelites that was led by the high priest at the times, Metanyahu's youngest son, Judah Maccabee, which in Hebrew means the hammer, who led the revolt and succeeded. Okay, I can do that. Congratulations to you, too. I heard you got ordained since I have not seen you. License, okay. I got it right here in it. My little thumb drive. So are you back up and running? Okay, cool. So it's 165 B.C., as I mentioned, and a small group of Israelites banded together, and it was led by the high priest Metanyahu's youngest son, Judah Maccabee, which means in Hebrew the hammer. And they led the revolt, and of course, they kicked the Syrian Greeks out of Israel. But I'll get to that in a minute. King Epiphanes was he was an antichrist, for lack of better words. He was just evil. He desecrated the altar by sacrificing pigs on the altar in the Holy of Holies. I mean, it just was a bad deal, right? And so the miracle is that, of course, there was only one day's supply of oil that had not been undefiled for you send the menorah. And so, of course, it miraculously lit until they could get it for time of purification. And the process, it lasted for 8 days, miraculously. And God's good. And then they got the oil properly consecrated. And at any rate, with that, they were able to get oil. So that's why it's called the Festival of Lights. And it's an eight-day, we commemorate it for 8 days. So John, let's turn here. The only place, and I'm just kind of skipping around, but that's okay. The only place in the Bible it talks about Hanukkah is in the New Testament. It doesn't talk about it in the Torah or the Tanakh or the Old Testament at all, ever. It's only referenced in the New Testament. And we'll start at John 10, verse 22. Now it was the time, now it was the Feast of Dedication, which we just talked about, that's what Hanukkah means, in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. So Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. We see that quite clearly here. And then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." So we see right here that this is the only reference that they make in the Bible about Hanukkah. And rightly so, because 165 BC, maybe they could have included it in some writings, but they just didn't. And so it's the only time it's references in the New Testament. And it referenced Jesus, and I think that's so awesome. So the Hellenization with Alexander the Great, when he conquered all these nations and stuff, and then basically he wanted them to put up a statue of him in the temple of God. And so the high priest told Alexander that that was not it was just basically forbidden. Though the Jewish people would not construct a living memorial by naming all their firstborn, the high priest told Alexander the Great that such was forbidden, though the Jewish people would construct a living memorial by naming all their firstborn sons after the great king Alexander. And he agreed upon it. And so with that, you still see, when God, again, don't intermingle, they trusted man and probably their man's opinions and meetings and stuff instead of seeking God. So when you fast forward a century later, Hellenization began to appear in the form of Alexander's successors, the Syrian king, Antiochus IV, Epiphanes. And I just mentioned what he did. And he thought he was Zeus and all this crazy nonsense. And so we have this rebellion. And some of the customs are, just quickly, you may notice, but just touch on them, is we celebrate for 8 days, as we know, and we touched on why, because of the miracle of the oil that was supposed to only last a day. It burnt for 8 days until they could get it consecrated oil. And then, of course, you light the Hanukkah, a special form of menorah, because the standard menorah, as we taught on, and I taught on the menorah, but the standard menorah has only seven candles, but the Hanukkah menorah has eight candles, and then the center candle, the shamash candle, which is the servant candle. So it's a symbol to show that God comes through and shines. And I'll touch on Jesus in a little bit. So another thing is, you are commanded by the Sanhedrin or by the leaders of the Jewish faith that you got to be joyous on Hanukkah and avoid all signs of sadness. So in other words, no mourning or fasting. On Hanukkah, men can light the candles, and usually when you have a Shabbat, the women light the candles. And you always go to the most elderly woman, and it's not to call out because of her age or anything like that, but you're showing honor. So in this case, young lady, you would be the one that we would call up to light the candles. It was Shabbat. And then you would speak the blessing. And, you know, it's an honor thing. And, you know, some women, you know, and I did Yom Kippur. Me and my friend Amos at our church did it. You know, I had a Bible study there, and we actually kind of did it. And I just, I wasn't thinking, I don't think. But I said, who's the oldest lady here? And I said, I'm not trying to embarrass you, yada, yada, yada. And I said, because it's an honor thing, and I explained that. And so then the one lady raised her hand, and she's like, you know, I'm so-and-so, no one said anything, and maybe there was older ladies there. But at any rate, it was kind of a joke, but she came up, and she was okay with it. I mean, I know her real well, and she was blessed to do it. So the reason why Jewish women or the church women, women of the church, are asked in a lot of times, and we show respect, is that it promotes essential cohesiveness, a woman does. Of the Jewish nation each time she lights the candles, or as the church, if you're a Christian. So as bearers of light, women draw down from above the spiritual clarity of Shabbat, or a church service, and then disseminate it through the week to come. And so the candlelight of Shabbat, or lighting of the menorah, expresses the inherent peace of the individual and collective Jewish soul or Christian soul. And it's no wonder that the candle lighting is a woman's obligation, since it's she unifies and creates peace in her own household. I mean, I think it's a blow-off, and I think men, we need to take onus, and I'll raise my hand and say, you know what, maybe I need to repent in certain arenas of my life, but in this arena of my life, and that is, well, go ask your mother. Well, that's that cohesiveness, you know? I mean, it's just, it is what it is. I mean, like I said, with my grandson living with us, you know, and my daughter, I mean, it's, you know, he can't speak for himself as yet. He's still a baby, but it's, you know, go ask, you know, it'll be go ask Bubby. That's Yiddish or Safta is how you say it in Hebrew. It means grandmother, but, you know, and even our dog, Abraham. I mean, bottom line is, I jokingly say, they knew who butters the bread. I mean, I can sit there and kind of look at him, but if my wife says something, it's like, his feelings does get hurt if she, like, knock it off or just please stop. You know what I mean? And that's a God thing. It's the anointing God has placed on women's lives, you know, in a house. And it's a blessing is what it is. And it should not be a threat to a man. And I think a lot of times, sometimes men get a little ruffle feathers when it comes to that. I mean, we're, you know, that's... I'm going to talk about it. I think a lot of times men in the church, and I'm not saying Jewish men are 100% perfect, but they get it better probably than anyone else, in that it's two entities becoming one flesh, but you're equal. You know, you're jointly fitted together, right? So there are strengths that a woman has that a man doesn't have, and vice versa, right? And the man is head of the household, but it's a joint venture. It's a joint venture, and that's why the Arabs have such a problem with Israel, because that's the first thing they'll throw in their face. Well, it's an atrocity what the Arabs do to their women. Candidly, chairs get more respect than a woman. It's appalling, and so at any rate. So she unifies and creates peace in her household. And again, if we consider Adam and Eve, before Eve, it goes all the way back to that. He had no sense of common goal or collective purposefulness, since he was just one individual. And with the creation of Eve and her marriage to Adam, God introduced a challenge of human relationships. This is kind of like Jewish commentary. So again, you can agree or disagree. It's kind of like eating a fish. You eat the fish, but you spit out the bones. So I'll preface that when I say that. But the idea that Adam and Eve should be unified by virtue of their connection to God remains the basis for peace, and not only in a Jewish marriage, but in a Christian marriage. Mm-hmm. So that's why women light the candles on a Shabbat. It's just showing your agents of peace is what women really are. I'm not saying men aren't, but... it's, you know, basically that's why they light it. And it's a showing of respect. So each night you would kind of light each candle, right? You go one day, 2 days. So We're on the sixth day, so we've got six candles in our menorah, and we've got the shamash candle, which means the servant candle, right? So I'm going to light the candles, and I will speak the blessing. And I want to pull up something because I want to read you the messianic blessing as well when I light them. And we'll go back, and you're supposed to let them burn down anyways when you light them. So we've got a little time, and then we'll talk more and see why it's relevant to the church, Hanukkah, today. It's important to Jesus, right? So the first blessing we would say before we light the candles, you would say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav b'tzivanu lahidlik ner shel Hanukkah. And that's in English. Blessed are thou, Lord God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with thy commandments and commanded us to kindle the light of Hanukkah. So now I spoke the blessing. We light the candle. And you light the servant candle. And if you do this at home with your menorah, it's always good to have cardboard. Well, I don't want to say cardboard for kids. Tinfoil. So like a lot of the Jewish people I, you know, friends with, and we have, Marla, my wife, she just uses a big cookie sheet. That's what she does, because ours is a little bit bigger. Or I've seen Jewish women put tin foil everywhere, because you get a lot, what you say in Yiddish, schmutz. You don't want to get, you know, it's a lot of cleanup. So we light the candles from right to left. And we light one for each day, and this is the sixth day of Hanukkah. And so we light them, and that was the first blessing, to light the candle. And we'll let those burn. And then the messianic blessing, I like this a lot, or the one that incorporates, you know, Jesus. It is Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher natan lanu chagim suchot umodim lasimcha lekavod Yeshua Hamashiach Adonainu or haolam. Blessed are thou, Lord God, King of the universe, who has given to us holidays, customs, and season for gladness, for the glory of God, Yeshua our Messiah, the light of the world. And like I said, my menorah teaching, the center candle is the shamash candle, which is the servant candle, and that represents to the Jewish people Mashiach, and to us it represents Yeshua HaMashiach, because we know that Jesus is the ultimate servant. So a couple of things, lighting of the candles, is that Jesus, again, I touched on it, is the servant candle, right? And he is the ultimate example of what a servant is to us as believers. And he's also the greatest Jew to live on this earth, to ever live on this earth, and to live on this earth, because he's still, of course, alive, and he will come back and touch down and set up, you know, kingship and reign in heavenly Jerusalem. So, I mean, that's another thing you tell Christians, and I like telling Christians that, because it's just, this is your heritage. You know, you can't get away from that. Jokingly and mockingly, they called him King of the Jews when they crucified him. But he truly is King of the Jews. But he's also King of the church. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings, right? He's the greatest Jew to ever live. So you place the menorah in the window. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And we do at home a lot of times is we'll light the regular Shabbat menorah. We'll just light menorahs, because it's a time of festival of lights and celebration, remembering the miracle that happened, but also, you know, it's a time of remembering the light. And I'm going to get to that a little more in depth here. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And that's why we put the candle, or the menorah, excuse me, in the window, so that we can let people know that, hey, it's a proclamation, not only for the Jews, but for the church. Yes. I know a lot of Christians that do it because that's your heritage. Mm-hmm. You know, when I taught on the Pesach and the Seder, it's, you know, the fourth cup of redemption, Jesus said, I won't drink it with you till what? I come back. And that's that's the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. It's a Seder meal. So, any rate, that's why you place the menorah in a window for everyone to see, because Jesus said that, let your light so shine before men. And he also told us that in John 8:12, he told us that he is the light of the world and gives eternal life. And he said, I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen?
Amen.
And we also light all those menorahs. Remember I said at my house we just light a lot of menorahs? It's a time for festivity, and it's a festival of lights as well. And this is why we do it. And I talked to my wife, and she goes, yeah, this is why we do it. And it's just to commemorate, saying in Psalms 119, verse 105, it says what? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And what does it say in John 1:1? John was a Jew. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word and Jesus are one. That's who they're referencing, or talking about Yeshua. So that's why we light as many candles. And so another couple things you do, and I guess it's traditions, but they're good traditions. So you eat food, you eat latkes. Everybody had a latkes? It's a potato pancake. They're awesome. And then jelly donuts. A lot of sweets. And then here, Pastor brought these in, these little dreidels, and you could take one. And then you play the dreidel game. And so with that, that's one thing that you play. And then you usually play with your kids. And then whoever wins, and you usually use some kind of monetary value, whatever you want to use. Of course, in Israel, they use shekels, and you know we'd use American dollars. But I usually use these gold coins, and they're chocolate coins. And he bought a box of those, and you could take one. I'm going to eat these because I'm going to the hotel later, and I'm going to take one. And so... But you're encouraged to kind of, if you win the money, you're encouraged to take your winnings and kind of, okay, you want to sow it to a church or to a charity or something like that. I mean, so you're encouraged to do that. And it's also a big thing to encourage children to light the menorah. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he shall not depart from his ways. But a lot of Jewish homes and even Christian homes, like my son, he's 13 now, but he enjoys lighting it. He looks forward to lighting the menorah. And we like, because I think he's like, okay, fire, and they're letting me do it. And it's the sensation of that, like, little power type thing. But it's not a bad thing, though. But it's more of also, but it's a reverence. He does. He's very, very respectful. But, you know, your kids are encouraged, because then you teach them. Because, you know, I haven't taught on that yet, but when time allows, I'll teach on the Shema and break that down. But it talks about, you should teach these to your children, you know, in repetition. So, you know, these traditions and things like that, there's a reason, you know, and commemorations and stuff like that, like the Seder meals and all that good stuff, you know. So there's a substance to why we do that. So you get presents. My kids are excited because they get 9.5 days of gifts, you know. So they'll go when they go to church, they say, we do 9.5 days, we get gifts. And so a lot of the parents are like, and to me and my wife are kind of like, you know, thank, yeah, exactly. You being a mother, you called it, yeah, thanks, yeah. Yeah, thanks a lot. We usually get that. Or would you mind adopting through this month of, this, you know, December on the Gregorian calendar? We're like, no. But yeah, you know, it's usually something small, but you know, we do. And then they get Christmas Eve, and because we do celebrate, you know, Christmas, and then they get Christmas Day. So we're pretty psyched about, pretty jacked about that. Even my 20-year-olds are like, right on. Yeah, right on. So any rate, kind of joke there. So playing the dreidel game, and why is that kind of important? So let's talk about that. So playing the games of dreidel, I'm going to grab one of these. And it's been long associated with Hanukkah, and it's the most popular is the game dreidel. And it's got a four-sided top. On each side is written a Hebrew letter. Nun, and then it's got Gimel, Hey, or Sheen, right? So the letters stand for the phrase Nes Gadol Hayim Sham, a great miracle happened here. So every time the, and again, this is, you know, we're God's chosen people if you're church, but you're also God's chosen people, you're Jewish. And so as I mentioned, Jewish people think that nothing happens by chance. So it's always inspired. Something, you know, and I got asked one time, does everything that the Jewish people do, does it always have to go back to God? And it's like, yes. I mean, I'm not trying to be, but the answer is yes. Everything. I mean, jokingly, they said, is there a blessing, like when you go to a restroom? It's like, yes. And jokingly, I'll say, and reason why you said it is you want what's supposed to come out, and what's not supposed to come out, stay in, right? I mean, jokingly say that, but there is a blessing. You just, it is what it is, right? But that goes back to Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6, doesn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. But in all, he said, did he not say that? God, all your ways. So going to the bathroom is part of all your ways. I say that not jokingly, but not to be crude, but it's a fact of life, right? So you're acknowledging him in all your ways. And he said what? I will direct and guide and make your path what? Straight. Putting God first. So the rules are simple. Each player puts something into the pot, perhaps a penny or a couple of nuts, and then the players take turns spinning the dreidel. And if a noon comes up, nothing happens. For Gimel, the player gets the whole pot. My son loves Gimel. He got Gimel a lot last year. I think you commented on that, in fact, because he had all those coins and stuff. He's all pretty jacked about that. I mean, he literally won, like, he kept giving Gimel, and I kept getting, you know, it keep falling off my head. I don't know why. But I kept getting noon. And it was like, okay, your turn. And he kept getting Gimel. He's like, right on, you know. So it was working for him. So the player that gets the whole pot for Gimel. And for Hay, the player takes half the pot. And for Sheen, the player has to share or add to the pot. And I got Sheen a lot. And I got, you know. So the reason, like I said, we can see why you play that game. It's a miracle happened here. It's always going back to something God has done in our lives. You know, and I'm going to get that real quick. Because I referenced it, but I want to touch on that a little bit more. So I'll get my Siddur, my prayer book. And the Shema is Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 9, right? And I guess I'll teach on that at a later date. But in English, it's, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. Set these words that I command you this day upon your heart. Teach them faithfully to your children. This is what we're talking about. Speak of them in your home and on your way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign upon your hand. Let them be a symbol before your eyes. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your home or your house and on your gates. So that's where you get the mezuzah. You ever see the mezuzahs? That's where it talks about that there, you know. And then they talk about bind them as a sign on your hand. That's the tefillin. And you got that little thing behind between your eyes, the tefillin, and it's got the umbilical cord. That's what it symbolizes. And it goes down your hand. And there's a teaching on that, but then it says, inscribe them on your doorpost, and that's talking about the mezuzah. And usually you have a rabbi bless it. In my case, I've had a rabbi bless mezuzah because we got them all over our house, but Pastor Larry has, and Dr. Larry have prayed over a lot of our mezuzahs. I think Dr. Brim prayed over one. But at any rate, you have usually Psalms 91, the Psalm of Protection in there. And it's not a good luck charm. Good luck is evil to the Jewish people. It's a derivative of Lucifer. And people, well, you're splitting hairs. Well, You know, Malachi 3:6 says what? I'm the Lord thy God, I do what? I change not. Therefore, you sons of Yaakov are what? Jacob are not what? Not consumed. You know, Hebrews 13:8 says what? Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So, okay, I'm splitting hairs. I'm going to go God's way. And it's not a good luck charm or anything like that. It's just a remembrance of you're blessed. It's a focal reference point. There's, you know, God gave us five senses, so there's different ways that we can praise the Lord. Like I said, I was in Denver, and you've seen some of my pictures, and you commented on them, and I said, you know, like the mountains and stuff, how, you know, so beautiful, right? Well, it's a focal point, kind of like the mezuzah, you know. I'm blessed. This house is protected. Or it reminds me of to pray every day Psalms 91 over my house and over my children and over me. You know what I'm saying? It's just a remembrance, a guide point. So, at any rate, I just felt impressed to kind of talk about the Shema and why these customs are relevant.